are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I am Jeff Garcia, your host for today. I'm also with the Spurs Zone at News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Hope you're having a great day. Hey, it's the end of the week. Weekend is here, but, you know, with COVID, you know, can you really have fun anymore in the weekend? Who knows? Whatever you're doing, just be safe, wear that mask, wash the hands. You know what to do. So what are we doing today? Well, it's Friday, which means another fan episode. That's right, where a fan comes on, takes over the mic, and reps the entire fan base on a couple of topics that could be or probably are on the minds of Spurs fans, especially this offseason, because, hey, it's going to be a very long offseason. We do not know when the NBA season will resume. So what are the topics today that this surprise fan is going to tackle? Well, kind of a forgotten Spur. You know, when you think of the young guys, you think Johnson, you think White, you think Murray, you think Walker. Hell, you think maybe even the NBA draft and whoever the new guy is going to be. But there's one young guy that kind of gets overlooked a lot, and that is Chimezie Metu. What do fans think about Metu? Do they think he'll be back next season? Do you think he'll stick around longer than next season? Or is he the B word? No, not that word, a bust. Also on the show, DeJounte Murray. We're going to get the fan thoughts on him and whether or not maybe fans are kind of wondering, okay, when is he going to get to the next level? To do that and more and repping the entire fan base is my good friend, John Dyer. He's also the host of Spurs and Salsa. Did they get that right? Is it Salsa and Spurs? I can never
figure it out. Spurs and Salsa.
Spurs and Salsa. We'll talk about Spurs and Salsa later on in the show, John. But first of all, thank you for coming on Locked On Spurs. I appreciate it. And are you ready to rep the entire fan base?
Yes, sir. I'm going to give it my best shot. And thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
By the way, you know, this has kind of been a discussion among us nerds. Let's get it out of the way fast. You going with the, you going with the Saba sword or you going with the Green Ranger flute?
I got to go Saba sword.
Salazar, man. Yeah, you know what? If pound for pound, it's a stronger weapon, man.
And I thought when you mentioned, you know, our nerd talk, I thought you were going to mention Star Wars.
Oh, no. If I go down that road, it's over. This show's done.
It's a whole new podcast.
Yeah, it's a whole new podcast. It's over and it's done. And by the way, you can follow John Dyer on Twitter at John Dyer. And of course, you know, he's with the other Spurs podcast, the Spurs and Salsa. Make sure to check that out. Just Google it. You'll enjoy it. So, yes. John, let's go ahead and tackle this fan episode. Look, he's a forgotten Spur, I think. I think you forget him. When you go up and down that roster, he's that guy. You're like, oh, yeah, that's right, Metu. Duh, yeah, he's there. You look at him, John, and you say he has all the tools. He's tall, athletic, bouncy. Can block shots. We see what he did in Austin, but yet he's there in Austin and not really getting any major PT. Even in the bubble, he got some, but not more than I thought he would. When you think Metu, John, and we'll get the fan base in a bit. What is your immediate impression? What do you think?
To me, I see raw talent, like you just mentioned. It's weird that he's put it all together in Austin, yet when he's on the main roster, especially at Disney, Pop didn't want to pull the trigger. And when he got minutes in the last game, you kind of saw the good and the bad with him. Mm-hmm. It's still very raw. I think the easy term is just, it's still raw. Very, very raw.
But how long are you going to give him the raw excuse? When does it stop? When does it turn into, okay, you got to start panning out, because I believe he's going to go into his third year already with San Antonio if they don't let him go.
It's coming up, and I think he's getting a break from avoiding the B word only because there's so many other young Spurs that we're all focused on, like you mentioned. So he's kind of forgotten. I guess if you're talking front office, the B word's coming up pretty quick on him. Yeah. And it might already be here because of, you know, the bubble was a youth movement, mm-hmm. and they didn't feel comfortable making him a big part of that. So that's, I think front office is probably closer to the B word than fans are.
All right. So, you know, you gave us your thoughts. What do fans think? Are fans still kind of buying in, or they're selling already on Metu?
I would say selling. A fan base, we're not a patient group right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're bouncing between young player to young player, looking for the next great Spur or even just solid Spurs to be part of the roster. And with Eubanks playing well at Disney and Pirtle getting his minutes at Disney, and I think the fan base isn't thinking twice about Metu at all. I doubt that there's any expectation for him right now. I would say he's the forgotten one. I think the fan base is done with them. There's zero expectation.
Yeah. Last season, when it came to call-ups, he got called up the most from Austin to San Antonio. But yeah, you would think that, okay, that's a good sign. He's going to get some burn. But no, he didn't. He was stapled to the bench, which is fine with me. Okay, fine. He's stapled to the bench. He's going to learn. But when Pop all but announced that they're going youth first in Orlando, again, like I mentioned, my first thought was, great, now we're going to see Metu. He's going to get that run. And it was – you're right. It was the flashes of what he can do, then the flashes of – I got to put my face down on the desk and slam it over and over again. Like, what are you doing with these stupid fouls? You know, what's going on here, Metu? You're too aggressive, et cetera, et cetera. 2 years in the NBA, and he has played a grand total of 47 games in the NBA. He's averaging 2.3 points per game in the NBA, averaging about 1.5 rebounds in the NBA. He doesn't get a lot of time. But yet, John, you look at him, he's like, okay, well, if the Spurs need bigs, because that's one of the things they desperately need is to address this offseason, he's right there. Why do you think fans will be okay if he's passed up, if he's let go, if he's, hey, you know, Metu, good luck to you in a different situation?
I just think that he hasn't done enough. You mentioned the youth movement in Orlando, and Trey Lyles didn't play because of injury. Right. Aldridge didn't play because of injury. So you would have thought, okay, this is his shot. This is, you know, they're going young. They don't have a lot of size going to Orlando. This is where he can make his move. And because he didn't, because Pop didn't have the trust in him, and to be honest, he's been passed over by Eubanks.
Yeah.
I think that's his missed opportunity. I think in a few months, maybe a year from now, we'll be talking about Metu again, and we'll say that's where he lost his chance.
I'm glad you brought up Eubanks. That's got my outline here, because I was about to say that, yeah, when a guy like Eubanks, who is a good player, solid role player, you know, banger in the middle, you know, tough as nails, but doesn't have the physical tools as Metu does, and Eubanks leaps over him for the minute. I mean, Metu is a good one, 6'10", 7 foot, something like that.
Well, pretty close,
yeah. Yeah, Eubanks is about a 6'9", 6'8", at least that's what he listed. And that's telling, isn't it, John?
And I think that's why the fan base is okay with him moving on. And that's why there's no buzz around him anymore. Nobody was disappointed with Eubanks in Orlando. And Eubanks kind of took his spot in fan base's hearts.
Yeah, he really, really did. And look, in Austin, you know, there's no denying what a Metu can do. I believe he was one of the league leaders at his position in assists and in points. He led Austin in blocks. I mean, you've seen the highlights of his play in Austin. I mean, he looks like a machine out there, but that hasn't honed into it a place on the Spurs roster. Look at this season, you know, where size was a premium on this team. You know, LMA did all he can do, and Jakob is a solid player, but even Jakob doesn't have those physical tools that you would think Metu's tools would fit in well in this NBA. Look at the NBA right now. You know, it's swifter, it's quicker, it's a more fast pace. He can run like crazy. You know, he can get up and down the court. We saw what he did with Team Nigeria during the FIBA World Cup games. You put all that together, you're like, what is wrong with you, Metu? John, do you think fans believe it's more mental right now, or is it just simply that, hey, you know, the Spurs just don't find a fit for him right now?
I think it's mental. Because, again, if there's a fit. There was a need for him in Orlando, and he didn't answer the bell. And you're right. You look at Austin. You look at FIBA. He's produced at the smaller levels, mm-hmm. and it doesn't translate. And that happens, right? There's busts all the time in all sports. I mean, every year there's people that look like athletic freaks, and it just doesn't work out for whatever reason. And Metu is just going to be probably one of those cases. He's not the first or the last. I mean, the Spurs have they haven't had good luck with big men, athletic big men.
Yeah, they really haven't. I can't think of the last athletic big man. Maybe Deadman, maybe?
Maybe. I guess he'd be the most athletic.
Well, Robinson, obviously.
Oh, yeah, he's an athletic freak.
But not even Duncan was that athletic. You know, he would just wear you
down. Not in the traditional sense.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. You look what he did last season. You know, his season high in San Antonio, 8 points. That was at OKC. Season high in rebounds, 8 versus Boston. You know, small numbers, and I get it. You know, he hasn't transitioned fully into the NBA. I want to give him a little bit of a pass because he hasn't had significant time on that NBA court to really take the lumps, do his mess ups, grow. Is that a factor that Spurs fans are going to kick in whenever next season starts? And if he is, like, for example, the training camp roster, he's on there. Do Spurs fans, and what about you, John, give him a pass because he hasn't given the time to shine?
Well, if it's one thing Spurs fans like to do, that is complain about young people not getting minutes.
Yeah.
It's our passion.
It's a passion.
So yeah, that is to that point, you're right. He might still get a pass. Even though Orlando was a great opportunity, I could still see him getting a pass with the whole, he's not getting his chance. You know, that was Lonnie Walker was given that pass this year, where Spurs fans, we were just clamoring for more Lonnie Walker.
Yeah.
So I could see Metu taking that spot as everybody's pet project, where we just want him to get minutes.
Do you think next season is a make or break thing for Metu?
Very much so.
Yeah.
He's, 23 years old. He's on his last year of an option contract, and the Spurs need to figure out what they're going to do long-term in the post, in the paint. So if he doesn't do it by next year, they'll probably move on. I mean, and honestly, we'll see what the draft brings. They might draft somebody that takes over his spot too.
And that's the thing too. You look at mock drafts, you look at what the reports have been out there of the individual players the Spurs are looking at, bigs, a lot of bigs. And you're thinking, okay, well, you have bigs right now, and one of them is Metu. You would think that, hey, he has an edge over these rookies or these prospects, you know, because at least he's been in the G League, and at least he's been in an NBA game. But no, nevertheless, you know, you look and you're kind of scratching your head thinking, like, what is going on? Now, you mentioned the bubble, you know, just off the top of my head. I think they played against Philadelphia out in Orlando. He didn't play at all. Versus Denver, he didn't play at all. Utah, not 1 second. New Orleans, not even a minute. And then I believe, like, towards the end, I think he played like 6 minutes against Houston and scored 2 points. I think it just – it's either a mental issue, as you mentioned, that he just is not getting it and the game is not transitioning well for him, or it simply is not giving the chance to shine. But you would think after two seasons, and especially in Orlando, he would have gotten that opportunity. But to get 0 minutes for a good bulk of the games out in Orlando, that is telling. Would you be surprised if he's not on the roster?
No, not at all. I mean, Eubanks has passed him. We saw that in Orlando. He would have to have a strong training camp if he makes it to camp.
Yeah, there's that.
And again, if they draft a center, they're drafting at 11. So there's a good chance that whoever they draft at 11 doesn't even go to Austin when you're drafting that high.
Yeah.
If it's a post player, that post player might come in and already be in front of him also.
Yeah, it just, you know, I had high hope for him, and I still do. I still hope. If next season is going to be a make or break for him, fine, then bring it, Metu. It's simple as that. You know, you physically have the tool. I think Bryn Forbes, it was last year or last season, whenever there was a media session to start the season, he talked about Metu. He kept on saying, oh, he's springy, he's bouncy, you know, he's very athletic. So the players know that. But again, you know, I think – if you just look at the tea leaves and read them, you're saying, okay, something is going on. You know, is the system's not working for him, or he's simply not NBA ready. Do fans think, John, that it's okay to use the word bust when it comes to Metu, or is it simply a situation where fans are thinking, oh yeah, that guy, I forgot about him.
It's more of a that guy because he wasn't a high draft pick. He didn't come in with the same kind of hype as, you know, Lonnie and DeJounte Murray, who we'll talk about next, and Keldon. Even Keldon, so let's say Luka doesn't pan out, that's where you'll use the B word a little bit more.
Yeah.
And we're far away from even talking about that. But Metu wasn't a high draft pick, or he wasn't a hyped up draft pick. So I don't think the word bust. It'll just be one of those, it didn't work out. He's an Austin.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that just didn't come out of Austin. He just,
yeah.
That's as high as his ceiling.
I mean, have you seen those highlights in Austin? I mean,
yes, he does great. And that's what's,
yeah.
It's what's frustrating is it just, physically, he's got everything you want. He tears it up in Austin, and it just doesn't – it hasn't – I won't say it doesn't. It hasn't worked out yet.
No.
But, it could turn on. He's a young guy. I mean, he could have the best camp out of everybody, and we're going to look back on this podcast in a couple of months and laugh at this conversation.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking right now. I'm digging for numbers, something to show some sort of positive growth. And the only thing that I can think of is, okay, well, if we're going to use the excuse of, well, he hasn't got that much time in the NBA, well, then, okay, maybe that is a situation. You look at his rookie season, at least with call-ups, and I guess that's what I use Cleaning the Glass website. They say he had 22 games played in the NBA in his rookie season. As far as games played last season, 1920, he played 9. So that was a dramatic drop off. He got called up a lot, but didn't mean he played. Didn't mean he got on that court.
Yeah.
Cleaning the Glass says he's played only 9 games last year. You see, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I think Spurs fans should, but I do agree with you. I think this coming season, if he's still on the roster and if he's invited to camp and if he's even still there, you know, blah, 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 he has to prove his worth. You look, okay, it's a small sample size. I get that. But you look at his rookie season. Assist percentage, 4.2, low. Turnover percentage is high, and I think that's the issue with him.
That's right, what it is.
Yeah, in his rookie season, 25% turnover percentage in 22 games played in San Antonio. And, of course, very small sample size. I get it. But 15% last season, 1920, turnover percentage. I think he's just trying to do too much out there, John.
I agree. And another thing, too, is the Pirtle. Because if Pirtle's not in a Spurs uniform next year, he might luck himself out into another opportunity.
Right.
Just because they'll need a big body there.
Right.
But it is telling that his games played went down from his rookie year to last year.
Yeah, it did. And for me, that is a big reason why I want to give him a little bit of a pass. Like, okay, you know, there's only so much he can do in Austin. You know, we know that Austin coach, wherever he's going to be, if he's still there next season or last year with, I think it was Blake Ahern, you know, he's playing him. He's getting the minutes and he's shining.
Yeah, he's,
you know, but then it comes up to Popovich and the coaching staff if they want to play him in the NBA. They did not. They opted not to. Fine. Pre-bubble, fine. Pre-pandemic, fine. I get it. You know, it was still a usual season. Pandemic happens. We all know what happened in Orlando. He doesn't get that much burn. And I think at that point, that's when I started to bite my nails a bit, John, thinking, okay, they're not thinking about him as far as this youth movement. If it's about the youth movement, then Metu is young and he is part of that as of right now. And you didn't see him get burned until the end. Very telling what the Spurs are thinking. John, Spurs fans are not souring him. We know that.
No.
But do you think Spurs fans had high hopes for him?
Not too high. I don't think he's somebody that was on the radar as far as a casual Spurs fan.
Yeah.
You know, there's guys that, you know, that follow Austin very deeply just to see what's coming up the pipe.
Yeah.
Now the Spurs fans that do that probably had high hopes because again, he's been killing it in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
So the Spurs fans that pay attention to Austin had high hopes. Casual Spurs fans, you know, the ones that watch the 82 games and they see who's in rotation, probably not so much.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think Spurs fans just were intrigued. I think they were salivating at what they saw at Austin. But I think the focus has shifted, as you mentioned, you know, to Keldon, to Yaka, what's going to happen with him. Because what is the thing during the bubble, and we saw at least early in the offseason, like Spurs need bigs. They need to get draft the big guy. You know, oh, there's Trey Lyles. You know, good, good, good. And there's Jakob. Yeah. Stay Jakob. But I'm thinking, okay, well, there's this other guy here called Chimezie Metu. Y'all are forgetting about him. But nevertheless, yeah, I would not be surprised if Metu is not back next season, or if he's waived, or, you know, maybe he's thrown in as a piece in a trade deal.
Yeah,
something like that, you know, because I think the Spurs at this point are really thinking that maybe, just maybe, he's not in the long-term plans. When we get back, John and I are going to shift gears and talk about the guard position, and that is DeJounte Murray, and whether or not Spurs fans are kind of wondering, okay, DeJounte, where is this next level going to be, and when is it going to come, or if any at all? But before we do that, I quickly want to talk to you about Built Bar Go. Now, I talked about the Built Bar protein bars. This is something different. Basically, it's like, I'm pretty sure you've seen them, those little gel packs, those energy packs that are like gel you just kind of squeeze. Yeah, they're going to that direction, and they're great. I already got myself a box. You should get one too. It's basically a 1.5 ounce package. Throw in your pocket, put in your golf bag, whatever. They come in three delicious flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate, coconut, chocolate mint. They work so well. They combine energy with collagen protein. That's just a fancy way of saying that protein is going to make you look good, feel good, and just overall give you a better sense of health. So what I want you to do right now is visit builtgo.com, use promo code LOCKED, and get yourself 30% off your next order. Once again, use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. And hey, let's go. We are back, and I'm joined by John Dyer. He is repping the entire Spurs fan base right here on this fan episode of Locked On Spurs. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at John Dyer. To disagree with him that it is the Green Ranger's weapon that he should have picked versus Saba, the White Ranger. And all kidding aside, John, glad to have you on board. And again, we'll definitely touch on Spurs and Salsa later on the show. So, you know, you go from one young guy to another, and now a different position. There's DeJounte Murray. John, do you remember a time when DeJounte was untouchable? Do you remember
those days? Yeah. It's probably about a year ago.
Yeah.
His shoes were coming out.
Yeah. What happened?
I think right now Spurs fans were enamored with our new toys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have two small kids, and they desperately want this one toy. They want it so bad. You get it for them. And then 2 days later, there's a new toy commercial or a new video game coming out. And that's what they're in love with. And they forget about the old toy. And I think with Spurs fans, we love to just kind of fall in love with our new toys.
Mm-hmm.
So Murray, 2 years ago, three, you know, when he was all NBA defensive second team, mm-hmm. he was the new toy. He was the only new toy at that point. We were all in love with them. He misses a year, and all it did was build our anticipation for him to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But with that time gone, Derek White established himself in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. We draft Lonnie Walker, who has all the physical ability in the world. I mean, he just jumps off the screen.
Oh, yeah.
Physically. Like, Lonnie Walker just looks like the best athlete every time he's on the court. So I think with Spurs fans – and then, of course, when Murray comes back – you know, he's coming off a serious injury, and when he's not an all NBA defensive player anymore yet, which I think he'll bounce back to that, I think we moved on to the new toys. And now you got Keldon Johnson from the bubble. And
yep.
He's just he's almost the old man of the group,
yeah,
which is funny to say.
It is really funny to say because, you know, he's still very young, but yeah, he is the kind of the big brother, if you will, for these younger guys. Yeah, I mean, I look at him and I say, you know, right now, John, in my opinion, I see good player. I don't see great player.
Me too.
I see good guy to have on the court, you know. Now, can he rebound at his position? Well, absolutely. Does he have that length? Is he have the physical tools? Absolutely. But again, you know, we're going into what season now? I mean, how many years already in San Antonio? Minus one for the knee. And I haven't really seen too much improvement. John, are Spurs fans starting to kind of get a little impatient with Murray?
Yes. And again, it goes back to the whole new toy thing. But also, there hasn't been as much growth as we thought. I will say this, though. I liked his bubble play. Mm-hmm. I think his jump shot looked smooth.
It did,
You can see Chip has worked with him. His mechanics are good for his jumper, and I think that's going to serve him well in the future. And I won't be surprised if he ends up being our favorite Spur again this year. Spurs fans, yes, we've moved on. I think Keldon Johnson is the apple of our eye right now, and he should be. I'm team Keldon Johnson all the way as well. And that's a whole other subject, but I do think Murray, he's played a year after his injury. I really liked his bubble. I say bubble as in Disney, you know, bubble play.
Yeah, exactly.
I really liked the improvement of his mid-range jumper. Now, the fact that he takes mid-range jumpers might also make Spurs fans pull their hair out just because, you know, it's such a taboo word, right? Mid-range player. You know, DeRozan, Aldridge. In today's NBA, you want them to shoot the three. And Murray shoots a few, but I think he's going to be a good mid-range jump shooter, great rebounder. And I think he actually gets back to being an all-NBA type defensive guard.
Yeah, I hope so. And I look at him, Murray, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, so far he's been good. You know, with three seasons, again, minus the knee injury season. Okay, so what gives me some hope? What gives me the hope that there's going to be more improvement? Well, one, that he's only had three seasons in the NBA. So there's that. So you want to dig deeper, John. And so it's going to go to my favorite place, cleaning the glass. And there is statistical improvement showing that he's only going to get better. So you look at his assist percentage, 19.8% in the 17-18 season, 19-20 season, 23.3%. So he's finding guys. He's getting guys some shots. He's being a facilitator. Great. Turnover percentage, it's still a little high for me. In the 17-18 season, cleaning the glass has it at 15.1% turnover percentage. 19-20 season, it went down 14.4%. Still a little high, but, hey, there's improvement. Now, what really stands out for me, according to Clean the Glass, is the points per shot attempt. Now, for those of y'all who don't know, and I know I'm throwing a bunch of numbers out, and we'll stop with the numbers in a bit. Those are basically the total points scored per 100 shot attempts. So for Murray, it went up dramatically, John. In the 17-18 season, 94.3 points per shot attempt. Last season, 19-20, 105.5. What does that tell you, John?
He's improving every year, even though it might not be at the schedule we wanted. Mm-hmm. But I think that lost year is – I mean, we can't hold him to that. We can't be upset with that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nobody's fault that he hurt for the year. And the numbers don't lie. You just pointed it out. He's making great strides every season. And, again, I think the bubble – to me, he showed the most improvement – out of everybody. Now, I know Derek White had unbelievable.
White was just crazy, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's why he gets lost in the shuffle too. You know, Keldon Johnson kind of came onto the scene. Derek White showed what he did in the playoffs a year ago. But and if DeJounte Murray only ends up being a really good player but not an all-star, that's okay, you know, as long as somebody else steps up in that all-star role.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Maybe things would be different for him as far as a stronger trajectory if he didn't have the guys around him, like White and Keldon and, you know, maybe Lonnie. You know, hopefully he gets better next season. So he's going to have to defer more. Obviously, he's going to take less shots. He's, you know, the numbers may be skewed a bit. And it was also, too, last season was a shortened season. You know, so the numbers again skewed again. During the last season, John, we heard coaches, Becky Hammon was one of them, saying, like, yeah, you know, it's going to take time for a guy who lost the season and tore up his knee to get back to form. And we saw that, didn't we, John? We saw right before the pandemic break, Murray was coming on and looking like the Murray we saw before the injury. And then the pandemic happened. Let's go back to the fans now, since you're repping the fan base. Will Spurs fans be bothered if he's traded?
Not as much, because you still have, I think, because Derek White's there. I think there's so many guards on this team, young guards, that you can probably trade any of them as long as you're getting great return. But specific to Murray, yeah, right now he's not the favorite. He's not the favorite child. He's not the favorite toy right now. So if he got traded, I think Spurs fans would be okay. I think we would regret it because, you know, you just pointed out he is showing improvement every year. Mm-hmm. And we, you know I just said he might just be a good player. I mean, there's also a chance he develops into a great player. Mm-hmm. He's showing growth. He's a year away from injury. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised at all if he ends up being the best young player in this upcoming season.
Yeah, and
but to answer your question, you could trade him now, and the fan base would be okay.
Yeah, I think obviously it would be depending on what they get in return. Like, for example, if the Spurs, just as hypothetical, you know, were to be talking to some of the teams in the upper 10 in the picks, and they go, yeah, you can take our sixth pick or our fifth pick, you know, Murray and their 11th.
Exactly. I think people would be okay.
It's going to be okay with that because that's good. They're going to get themselves an impact player. And they have the safety net of guys like Johnson and White and DeMar to a certain degree when he facilitates, et cetera, et cetera. So we're looking at DeJounte here. Now let's look at some of his defensive numbers, rebounding numbers here. That's where he shines the best. You're looking at his steal percentage. That was ranked in the 94th percentile, according to Clean the Glass. So 2.9%. So he's locking down guys. He's getting second chance opportunities. Foul percentage, they're still a little high, 3.4%. You know, we saw him get a little foul trouble, and I think that's kind of one of the more frustrating things for me is to see him get fouls even after three seasons in the NBA, you know, but hey, it happens. Now, of course, for y'all who don't subscribe to Clean the Glass, I got a bunch of fancy numbers, so I'm going to try to make it as easy as possible here. Offensive rebounding, basically that is the percentage of the team's missed field goals, 4.2%. So, again, good for him. He gets his rebounds and, again, gets opportunities for the Spurs. This is interesting. Defensive rebounding on the free throw. So, basically what it is, listeners, is the percentage of the opponent's live ball missed free throws. Did DeJounte Murray rebound? He was ranked in the 92nd percentile, according to Cleaning the Glass, at a rate of 15.9%. John, your thoughts?
He affects the game in a lot of little ways. And the fact that those are a lot of hustle stats too. And that's what I love about him is rebounds, you know, a lot of it is hustle, especially from the guard position. You know, that's not a position you think is going to go over there and bang it up with the big guys. He's got a ton of heart and fight. I think that's what also gets him in foul trouble. But, man, I'll take that all day. Yeah, the numbers you're throwing out just speaks volumes to what he already does on the court and the impact he can continue to grow to have.
Do you think how can I say this? You think Murray is a piece to build around, or he's just a player to build around somebody else?
I think that's the question. I mean, if let's say he takes another step forward with those numbers, it's someone you can build around. But I think with the Spurs, and I'll go back to what I said about the new toy. I think that's why, as a fan base, we continue to jump on who we're in love with, because we're looking for the guy to build around.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's an indictment on Murray if we jump to the new toy, because now I think what we're kind of saying is, okay, you can be someone we build with, but we're looking for the centerpiece.
Yeah. Yeah. And right now there is no franchise player as of right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're hoping one of these guys develops into one. And I think it's dead even right now with all of them. But yeah, I think Murray could be someone that you could build around.
What? You're not going to build around Metu?
If I had to bet money, I would say Keldon, only because his pedigree. I mean,
yeah, he is. Yeah,
if his I'm not mistaken,
crazy.
Yeah, he was a McDonald's All-American. He went to Kentucky.
Now you got me creating McDonald's now.
We sent him to Austin and he destroyed it there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just been a blue chipper every time.
Yeah, exactly.
So if I had to bet money, it would be Keldon. But I wouldn't be shocked if Murray ends up being his Robin, mm-hmm. or if Murray even becomes the leader of this team, you know, this coming up season.
Yeah. It's really interesting to see, you know, the evolution of Murray because of how dramatic this fan base has gone with him. It went from protect him at all costs, never trade him, to, maybe it's okay now, you know. So it's very interesting. Just a few more numbers before we put a close on this segment. John, get your thoughts here. We talked about some of the improvements from 1 year to next. We mentioned the defensive side of it. And also get some more of the offensive end now. You might like this. So 17-18 season, he shot 29% from the corner three. Last season, 39%. He's there. All mid-range shot, no matter where on that mid-range area. 17-18, 36%. Last season, 44%. Another spike there. All three-point shots, no matter where in the where beyond that arc. 17-18 season, 23%. Last season, John, 38%. At the rim, he's still about 55%. And his effective field goal percentage shot up this year to 50%. So, again, there's improvement. He's getting better. Are you expecting him to have a great season next year or just another DeJounte Murray season?
Well, before we started this podcast, I was expecting another good year. But you've convinced me he's improving, and that's with a year away from the game.
Yeah.
There's a gap in those numbers where he wasn't able to do too much. He's got another season under his belt. I expect him to have a great year. You've convinced me with those numbers. That I think we'll be talking about this in a year. How I think this will be another moment where we're laughing, where we said the fan base would be okay if we traded him. And I think we're going to be okay that we didn't. I really think there's no reason for me to think he's not going to improve more. He just – numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
And, again, that's with a year sitting at home rehabbing.
Yeah, exactly.
You let him work and actually be able to be in the gym and improve even more. I mean, he's still a very young man.
Yeah, he is.
I'm going to call it now. He has a great year.
Yeah, he may sneakily have a really, really good year next season, yeah. whenever that is going to happen. All right, there you have it. Those are John's thoughts and the thoughts of the fan base, at least according to John, about DeJounte Murray. When we get back, we're going to continue our chat about your San Antonio Spurs and now talk about an older guy, DeMar DeRozan, talking about a younger guy, Keldon Johnson. We're back, and I'm joined by John Dyer. You can follow him on Twitter at John Dyer, and of course, Google Spurs and Salsa right now. You'll be happy you did. John, let's go to put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. Now, yesterday, DeMar DeRozan spoke with JJ Redick on JJ Redick's show, and you know, he talked about his days in Toronto. About the fan love he gets there. But one of the knocks about DeMar DeRozan is his three-point shooting. A lot of Spurs fans pull their hair like, well, he's right there. You know, he's a step away, just one step, and he can make the three, this and that. So finally he opened up about that, and he explained why he stays away, or at least doesn't make go for them as much. It's simply because he was stubborn. During that interview, he said that in his Toronto days, he heard that a lot, and then 1 year, he decided to go ahead and go for it, and he shot an incredible rate. I think it was about 38%, something like that, John, his highs of his career from the three-point line. And then the next year, he went back to that mid-range game. Why? Because somebody told him that he would never be a good player in the NBA if he doesn't hit the three, and he just wanted to prove them wrong. So you start wondering, like, okay, well, DeMar, why don't you keep going then and making those threes? He went on to explain, John, that simply because he's now enjoying being a facilitator. He talked about Bertans telling him how awesome it is to play with him because of the shots he creates. Same thing for Bryn Forbes. And he's relished that facilitator role. John, are you buying or selling?
So a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Okay.
I'm selling the whole – I don't like the attitude of I'm not going to shoot threes because I want to prove you wrong. It's just – it's such a
No, he admitted. He did admit it that he was being an a-hole stubborn, about it. Yeah, that he was being a
now. Fan. What I'm buying is this facilitator role because, go back to Disney, he did such a good job of facilitating to the young guys, and then he was able to turn it on at clutch time. Right, mm-hmm. We saw him be a closer, and I'm buying that because it just fits what we want him to do for the Spurs. Right, mm-hmm. We've got this youth movement. We've talked about. You know, Murray, Keldon, Derek White. So if you can have a star player who's willing to facilitate but still has the ability and desire to close out games when those young guys can't, that's the perfect veteran to have not only on the Spurs team but just on any young team.
Since you are repping the fans today, do you think fans will be okay if one day y'all read – whether it's from me or, you know, some sort of Woj bomb or whatever, that he's coming back. He's picking up his option.
I think Disney changed the fans' perspective because he did facilitate mm-hmm. and because he looked good with the young guys. Mm-hmm. I think the fan base will be thrilled.
All right, there you have it. All right, well, in that same conversation, though, he did have some love for Keldon Johnson. Him and Redick were having some fun time in the chat, and they're reminiscing about the bubble. And then that's when Redick said, oh, yeah, I remember playing against you guys, talking about the Spurs, and how he went off for like 30-something points in that final game. And then he said that during that game that he saw Keldon Johnson getting some instruction from Coach Popovich, and that – this is crazy. Redick went up to Coach Pop after that instructional chat he had with Keldon and told Popovich, hey, tell him I'm going to go right. There's nothing he can do. He cannot stop me. And sure enough, Keldon could not stop him. DeMar started laughing, and DeMar was like, hey, you know what? We even told him to defend you, JJ, by going right, and he still couldn't stop him. And they had a laugh about it, and you know, DeMar's like, oh, you know, rookie stuff, it happens. But it didn't stop there. First of all, both JJ and DeMar said that Keldon Johnson is going to be really good, and then DeMar took it a step forward and saying that how Keldon Johnson is his favorite rookie he's ever played with. What does that mean to you, John? What do you think that means for the fan base?
Well, I think, you know, I mentioned it earlier, Keldon Johnson's the apple of all our eye, me, myself included. He's got the pedigree. He's already put it on film in mm-hmm. Austin and in the bubble. He's going to be our favorite Spur. He's probably the most popular Spur right now already. And for DeRozan to kind of validate our feelings for him, it just kind of the hype train continues, the Keldon train continues.
And you know what, John, I'm glad you brought that up, because remember when it was Lonnie the favorite Spur?
Oh yeah. And like, yeah. I said, we're in love with new toys. And I'll tell you what, you know who the number two most popular Spur is going to be next year? Who's whoever that? We draft at 11.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
we love our new toys. Keldon is the one right now, and like, I'm not gonna disclude myself, again, I love his pedigree. There's a lot of evidence, a lot of tangible evidence to point that he's going to be a really, really, really good player.
There really is. I've been fortunate enough to kind of get kind of an inside behind the scenes look at Keldon during this offseason. And there's a lot of stuff I wish I could say here and I can't. But one thing I can say is he's putting in the work. Expect, if you thought KJ version 1.0 was good, wait till you see Keldon version 2.0 next season.
There you go.
Yeah, it's going to be insane.
You're getting us excited. I'm going to go out and get my boys Keldon jerseys for next season whenever it starts.
You mentioned earlier, but Keldon is one of the closest to untouchable right now, right?
Oh, yes. He's probably number one.
Over White?
Only because of White's age.
That's right. People forget he was a four-year college guy. He wasn't a one-and-done rookie.
Exactly.
Yeah, so there's that. All right. Those are our thoughts on a few fan topics that fans have been talking about this offseason. Well, maybe not meant to because they forgot about him, but I remembered him, and I had to ask Spurs fans if y'all still remember this guy. But what are your thoughts about Chimezie Metu? Like, dislike, buy, selling, bust or not? We need to know right away. You can tell John how to do that on Twitter at JohnDyer and me on same thing as well at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Go to the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio.com and subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast. Now, John, I promise you we'll talk about Spurs and salsa. What is that? What is going on with it? Tell us more about your Spurs podcast.
All right. So we are a Spurs centric podcast, not as much as you. You know, you're the one with the insight. We kind of give a fan's perspective of the Spurs. We also talk a lot of other sports, whatever San Antonio seems to like. You know, right now a lot of Cowboys talk, which is mainly negative. Same with the Texans. We talk some college football. And then we end each segment or each podcast where we review a local restaurant or brewery or beer. We have a lot of fun.
I thought you're gonna be talking about salsa, like different type of brands of salsa.
Well, there's we go to quite a bit of Mexican restaurants, obviously being in San Antonio, but we try to give a lot of love to any local restaurant, especially right now during the pandemic. We got to support our local businesses as much as we can so we don't lose them. But you can for all our food stuff, you can go on our Instagram page at Spurs and Salsa. That's where we really focus on food. And if you're looking for a place to eat or drink, especially, you know, I know we're in the pandemic, so if you want to pick up to go, I've been doing that a lot. Our Instagram page has about 2 years worth of local places.
Nice. Do you, y'all eat during the show or is it just like,
no, after? we review after the fact.
Yeah. Okay. I thought that'd be interesting. Just in dining and enjoying during the food.
No. Now we have reviewed local beer. So we drink sometimes during the show. Just one or two, but we'll review during that. But for food, no, we don't eat during the show. I don't know how well that would sound on a podcast. But.
Well, I hear you, like maybe you just mute, you know, and it's like, okay, I just took a bite of whatever enchilada plate from whatever restaurant you go to and say, okay, this is good. But nevertheless, yeah, definitely go and check out Spurs and Salsa. John puts out some good work there. Talks about Spurs, and he gets your stomach growling. So you cannot beat them, that combo at all. But for John Dyer, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.